Dear brethren and dear sisters, you have not come to listen to a sermon. You have sermons every Sunday in church. I wish to tell you something about the underground church behind the iron curtain. It has been very well said in the introductions that I will speak about the Christians there, because especially in Russia, where communism exists already since 50 years, what you call here denominations and what we call damnations, because there should be no denominations, in Russia they have more and more disappeared. 80% of the underground pastors in Russia have never read a New Testament, but they are pastors. And believe me that they lead the sheep to very green pastures. If it would be according to me, I don't wish to interfere in English affairs, and I don't refer to any person, but I would take such an underground pastor who has never read a New Testament and I would make him right away Bishop of Woolwich. So well he can lead sheep to green pastures. If he has read a New Testament, if he has read a gospel or a few pages of the Old Testament, he is a lucky man. Nobody has read theological books. We have no theological books. And they don't know the truth about the truth. They know the truth. God is the truth. The Bible is the truth about the truth. Theology is the truth about the truth about the truth. A good sermon is the truth about the truth about the truth about the truth, and it is not the truth. The truth is only God, and there under suffering there exists a direct knowledge of God, of Christ, which has made the denominations more and more to disappear. I'm very happy that we have in this congregation not only Protestants but also Catholics. And I just told a Catholic nun, and I promise that I will begin my speech today by telling the following story which has happened in prison with us. One day, Protestants and Catholics were together in the same cell, and the Protestant pastor said, "I will never venerate Virgin Mary because she can't save. Only Jesus Christ can save." I jumped up and said, "I will not enter in argument with you now about the fact if Virgin Mary can save or not. But I protest very much against your attitude that you don't venerate somebody if you can't profit something from him. So if somebody can't give you salvation, is this a motive not to venerate him? Can't you venerate somebody just for the beauty of his soul? Just for his high character before God? Just because she has served God? Can't you for this pay her admiration, even if she could help you nothing at all? I myself am not praying to Virgin Mary and so on. But why can't you venerate her just for the beauty which has of her soul, which has made God to choose her to be the mother of the Lord?" The next day, a Catholic bishop came to me and said, "Pastor Vermont, I was very much impressed by the fact that you have taken, you a Protestant, the defense of the Virgin Mary, and I thought how to reward you for this. And this night I thought to give you a Protestant argument against Catholicism, which you never use. Jesus has said that if you have committed a sin, you should say, 'Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name,' and so on. Forgive us our sins, and say an amen, and then believe that you are forgiven. He has not said, 'Go to the priest and confess,' but say an 'Our Father.' If I would be a Protestant, I would use this very much against the Catholics. And they say, you have taken the defense of Virgin Mary. I wish to give you an argument against the Catholic. And then we embraced each other. I said, I've never seen a Catholic helping a Protestant to fight Catholicism. He said, but neither did I see a Protestant taking the defense of Virgin Mary. Let us just be brethren. There the denominations disappear more and more. What is created is a unity in the big fight which we have to fight against communism. We have to fight it already in schools. Our children fight. As you know, they have in Russia the Article 142 of the Penal Code. You will find the excerpts from the Soviet press in my book. An article according to which if you teach your children Christianity, your children are taken away from you. They say it in their press that from the family Malozemlov, they have taken 7 children. From the family Makrinkov, 6 children. From the family Mulin, 2 children. From Mrs. Sitch, her son Svetislav, and so on and so on. How would you mothers feel if your children would be taken away from you tonight? If a van of the secret police would stop before your house and your children would be put in an atheistic boarding school from which they would smuggle out letters. I've seen one of these letters. Mommy, come to my rescue. They beat me to deny God. Mommy, come. Mommy can weep her eyes out. She can't come to help these children. And now these children have already to fight with us for Christ. And the Soviet press now denouncing the fanaticism of Christian parents who wrongly educate their children, tell the following interesting facts. I have chosen just 2 or 3 of them. In such an atheistic school, the children, they were beaten too, but they were lured. They were given a rubber doll. And 4 or 5 of these children felt that they are not surveyed, and so one of them proposed, let us pray, let us play. Then they asked, and what should we play? One said, let us play a prayer meeting. So they all knelt down to pray, but the youngest one said, the rubber doll must pray too. And they tried to bend the knees of the rubber doll. It could not be bent. It was of rubber. So the child stood up and went to the communist teacher and said, would you please change our rubber doll because it is stupid? The teacher asked, did you find out that this rubber doll is stupid? And the child candidly answered, but everyone who does not bend his knees before God the Creator is stupid. This meant more the communist teacher than the rubber doll. Imagine what a lesson it is given by children in communist schools. They say that at a lesson in the communist school, the teacher, very sure of himself, said, now it is finished with God. Until now you could believe or disbelieve, but now our cosmonauts have been near the moon. And from the spacecraft, they have looked around to see if there is a God or not. And they have seen no God, so now it is finished with the religion. A child stood up. It knew that it may be the last day when she is with mother and father. For this, many children have been taken away from their parents, and she might be taken away too. And she asked, comrade teacher, but did the cosmonauts have a pure heart? Jesus has said, happy are the pure in heart, because they will see God. If your heart is not pure, you can fly not to the moon, but to a galaxy far away, and you will never see God. And if your heart is pure, purified by the blood of Jesus, then you can see, sitting in the pew of a school, you can see the glory of God around you. For such things, children with us have already to suffer, but they stand up for their faith. In one communist school, the teacher taught that man is from the donkey. Not from the donkey, I'm sorry, from the monkey. It doesn't make a big difference. Some make to me rather the impression to be from the donkey than from the monkey. Huh? And that man is from the monkey. And after having spoken, he asked the children, "What have you to say?" The children were silent. Then he pointed towards a certain girl, Emma. "What have you to say?" With us, Christianity is earnest. It is a decision which you have to take. After this answer, you don't know if you will see mommy and daddy again. Our children are very conscious. And the child stood up and said, "Comrade teacher, I am very thankful for what you have taught us today. I have always asked myself how it is that the communists are so wicked, and I have no explanation for this. Now you have given us the explanation. You are from the monkeys." Children with us stand up for the faith and oppose the communist doctrine. Children with us show beautiful examples of real Christian character. We were once in a communist prison cell, some 20 or 30 prisoners. And at a certain moment, the door was unlocked, and the guard pushed in a new prisoner with his hair cut and with his dirty prisoner uniform in the half dark of the cell. We did not recognize him. But then at a certain moment, one of us exclaimed, "But this is Captain Popescu, one of the worst torturers of the communist secret police. Several of us had been arrested and beaten by him. And we wondered, how can he be now a prisoner in a communist jail?" We surrounded him and asked him, "What is your story?" With tears in his eyes, he told us, "I sat once in my office a few months ago. The orderly before my door knocked at the door, entered, and said, 'Comrade Captain, outside is a boy with a pot of flour, a boy of perhaps 12 or 13, saying that he has this pot of flour for your wife.'" The captain scratched his head. He didn't remember that it should be the birthday of his wife or something like this. Husband sometimes forgets the birthdays of his wife. But he didn't remember. He said, "In any case, allow the boy to enter." The boy entered with a pot of flour in his hand, very shy but very decided. He said, "Comrade Captain, you are the one who has put in prison my father and my mother. And today is my mother's birthday. I had the habit every year out of my little pocket money to buy her on this day a pot of flour. Because of you, I have no mother to rejoice today. But my mother is a Christian. She taught me to love my enemies and to reward evil with good. And as because of you, I have remained without mother, I have bought this pot of flowers for the mother of your children. Please take this flower to your wife and tell her about my love and about the love of Christ." It was too much even for a communist torture. Tears ran down his cheek. He has been also created in the image of God. He has also been enlightened once with the light which enlightens every man when he comes in the world. He had before him a piece of heaven. He had before him a messenger of God who could not be contradicted. A pastor can be contradicted. A bishop can be contradicted. Theologies are complicated. But a child who brings a flower to the wife of the one who has taken mother away from himself, that is heaven descended upon earth, he embraced the child. He could not beat Christians anymore. He could not torture Christians anymore. He was not good to continue to remain an officer of the communist secret police, and he was happy to end with us in the same jail. It is not easy for a child to do these things. You have to overcome your own resentment and hatred and bitter feelings and so on. Our children have to fight inwardly and outwardly already. Then when they grow up, we have the fight continually. We have the fight at the atheistic meetings. As you have here a luncheon meeting, there at luncheon time in a communist country, if you like it or not, you have to attend an atheistic lecture. And the luncheon doesn't look after that as your luncheon looks, but you have to be at this atheistic meeting. And once there was such a lecture, and the communist lecturer described the materialistic doctrine that man is salt and mineral, nothing else than salt and mineral. We are matter just as this pulpit is matter. They don't believe in God, devil, angel, soul, spirit, nothing, matter. Very interesting is the definition of the word kiss in a communist dictionary. They say a kiss is the approach of two pairs of lips with reciprocal transmission of microbes and carbon dioxide. Well, that is what they know about the kiss. They see only the material side of things. It is really, you laugh about it, but it is tragical not to have eyes for the love or for the longing or for the falsehood sometimes which is behind the kiss. For this, they have not the slightest idea. And he said again and again that we are matter and only matter. Up to the Christian, as in anger he threw his stool to the floor, put it back again. The lecturer was unaware of what is happening. He went to the lecturer and fast gave him two slaps. The lecturer began to cry, "How do you dare to slap me? I represent here the party. Police, come and take this man." The Christian asked him, "But what has happened? How did you dare to slap me? Do you know whom I represent?" You probably dreamt. "Didn't you say that you are matter? Stool, I have thrown you to the floor, I have put you back. Stool, are you angry with me? Stool, would you like to revenge yourself? Stool, do you call after the police? Matter does not love, matter does not hate, matter does not have resentment, matter does not have emotions. By the very fact that you hate me and call the police after me, you have shown that your whole lecture has been a lie. Not even you are matter. You yourself have a soul with sentiments, with will, with emotions, and you are responsible before God." Those who do such things, I admit that they are very unusual for Christians, those who do such things have to go to prison in Soviet Russia or in Red China or in these other country with great communist terror, and never believe in liberalized communist countries. I can prove to everyone that in the most liberalized communist country, in Czechoslovakia, there are today 10,000 Christians in prison, published in Prague itself, after this last coup of Dubček. The communists have quarreled with each other. But as regards the Christians, they are just the same. I have the document with me here, about 10,000 of them continuing to be in prison. And this fight is going on. It is going on in atheistic meetings where we contradict the communists. a communist came, he had before him a communist lecturer, he had before him such a white bucket with water, and he said, listen here, comrades. In old times, people were stupid, uneducated. And they believed that a certain Jesus has made miracles. Now I will show you in what his miracle consisted. And he put a powder in this water, and it became red, white. And he said, Jesus had in his sleeve here, hidden, such a powder. And that is what changed the water in wine. That's all. I've shown it to you. I can make more than that. Here another powder. It was water again. It was white. Another powder. It was wine again. So you see, that is all. Don't believe any more these old stories. A Christian stood up and said, comrade lecturer, you have really impressed us by what we have shown us now. I would like only one thing. Would you please drink a little bit of the wine which you have made? The lecturer answered, I am sorry, but the powder which I have put in the water is poisonous. And the Christian said, well, that is the whole difference between you and Christ. Christ has given us a wine which we drink since 2,000 years and which makes the soul glad and the life to continue eternally. And you also... you also change water in wine, but only your wine is a wine which poisons. It poisons the life in Red China, tens of thousands of Christians in prison, the same in Russia, in Albania, in several other communist countries. The fact, if you will take my booklets, you will find there excerpts from the Soviet press which can't be contradicted by anybody because they are taken from the Soviet press itself. A huge terror continues, but they at the same time say that notwithstanding this terror, you will find these excerpts from the Soviet press too, they say that the underground church is in continual and in very quick growth, and that especially you tear down its red necktie and is confessing Christ publicly in baptism. Now, I wish to tell you a few things. When they enter in prison, I must tell you that before going to prison, I loved Christ. Since I have been in prison, I love the Church of Christ as much as I love Christ. The Church of Christ is his bride. And if Christ had all the virtues of the world, he must have had also the virtue of good taste. So he knew whom to choose as bride, no? It would be a lack of good taste from his side if he would not have known whom to choose as his bride. And we have seen behind the Iron Curtain in prison, we have seen them in their beauty, these Christians. And don't believe that only the exceptional Christians. Some of you may be perhaps backsliders. Some of you may be wondering, am I really a Christian or not? Believe in your Christianity. Believe in this little bit of Christianity which you have. It can give very big things. With us in Bessarabia, a group of Christians were taken out for mass execution. And a mass execution is not an easy thing. You have to shovel first graves for so many men and so on. It lasts hours. So the men were put to shovel their graves. And then when the graves were shoveled, they were asked, who denies Christ is free to leave, free to go home. If you don't deny, you will be shot. Some of those who have been considered as the best Christians denied when they saw the mass grave. And while they denied, came running from the village a Christian who has been expelled from a Baptist church for a very gross sin. And from far he cried, shoot me too, shoot me too. I am also a Christian, I am a very bad Christian, I am an expelled Christian. But only a Christian can be an expelled Christian. Only a Christian can be a bad Christian. A non-Christian can't be a bad Christian. Only a Christian can be a bad Christian, no? And I am a very bad Christian, but I am a Christian too. And I am sorry that I could not live a Christian life, but I can die a Christian death. So that in every Christian there is hidden this earnest of the Spirit. Sometimes you could not see it outside of you, and we have seen Christians in very difficult conditions in their beauty. First of all, we had a time in prison, it had not been always so bad, but we had a time when we had one slice of bread a week. Now, you Britishers generally don't eat much bread. I always miss it. If any one of you will ever invite me to a dinner, please don't forget to give me bread. We eat bread. With one slice of bread a week, we had cabbage with unwashed intestines, we had soups of dirty potato peels and so on. From this one slice of bread a week, Christians with us gave tithe. But some of them gave not every tenth piece of bread, but every fifth or every third to some other Christian who was weaker than he or who was sick, and doing it in turn, lives were saved by this. We were in the prison of Gerla, some 9,000 prisoners at a certain moment, and the guards didn't know us by name. How can you know by name 9,000 prisoners? And now, out of a refinement of cruelty, if you committed something against the rules of the prison, and I must say that we have become virtuosos in breaking the rules of the prison. We were not allowed to have needles or knives or things like this. We always had a knife. The guard came and searched us. I had the knife in my hand. And while he bent to search me, I put the knife in his epaulette. And he bent down and never found it. Then when he went to search the other one and bent to search my neighbor, I took the knife out of his epaulette. But not only, we had all kinds of things. We were not allowed to correspond with another cell. We always threw the wall by Morse code, tapped to them, and so on. And now, if you were found making such things, you were punished usually with 25 rubber truncheons on the soles of the feet and so. But they would never beat you on that day. If you were caught, let me say, on Tuesday, breaking the rules of the prison, they would ask you, what is your name? You gave your name, and they would tell you, next Tuesday, at 4 o'clock, you will be beaten. You can't imagine what it meant during a week to be obsessed. The beating was cruel, and day and night you could not sleep. All around you spoke, and you saw only yourself with the feet up and how you are beaten and how you cry. The waiting for the beating was much worse than the beating itself. And then after a week, they would open the cell and they would call out Marin Ionescu or I don't know who had been punished, that he should go out and take the beating. But they didn't know who this Marin Ionescu is, because they were big cells with over 100 prisoners. There was one pastor, Milan Haimovic, who always, when somebody was called out for a beating, he would answer, it is me. And he would get beatings again and again for his brother. For nothing in the world could you stop him. He said, that is the task which I feel that God has put upon my heart. Allow me to have this privilege. Jesus has had the privilege to suffer for the salvation of mankind, and for me it is a privilege to suffer for a brother of mine. We have seen the Church of Christ in her beauty. I wish to finish telling you just one story. My wife has been in prison too. And she told me a beautiful thing. A young girl, perhaps 20 or so, she was sentenced to death. The fire squad always shot at 12 o'clock in the night, and therefore the Christians called the fire squad the Midnight Bride. And she was told that on that day she will be executed. She was with some 5 or 6 other prisoners. And then the supper was brought in. Well, the supper, let me see. Well, and it was like the last supper. She knew that she will die on that night. She was so conscious. She took this earthen vessel containing some oats or I don't know what. She took it in her hand and she said, I had a boyfriend. He hopes that we will be married. He loved me. I loved him. Very soon my body will become earth, just as the earth out of which this vessel has been made. Perhaps in this earth of the vessel there has been once the dreaming eye of a young boy. Now it has become earth that will become from my body too. Out of my body it will decay, grass will grow, wheat, perhaps some oats. And prisoners will eat it after years. But there is something which remains. Christ on the cross, they have taken away from him everything. They have stripped him naked, they have scorched him, they have nailed him, he could not move a finger. They have taken away from him his mother, they have taken away from him everything. And just when they were the surest about their victory, in the last moment, Jesus said, Father, in thy hands I surrender. And all his enemies at the foot of the cross began to laugh and said, now we wonder what he will surrender. Nothing is left to him. He has nothing to surrender. And Jesus, after a pause, said, I surrender my spirit. That is what we forgot to take from him. That is what we could not take from him. The Spirit has remained, and by the Spirit he resurrected from the dead, and he triumphed over his enemies. And she said, my Spirit will remain. I am not only flesh. And you could see the Spirit glowing on her shining face. We believe the Bible simply as it is written. We are very old-fashioned for Great Britain. We believe as it is written because we have seen transfiguration. And then the hour came when she was taken out to execution. And you could hear her walking through these arched corridors in which every noise was bounced from one wall to the other. When she was taken out, she began to recite the creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. We all say it in our churches, but we say it somehow yawning. No, I don't believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. But there I believe. It means I am ready to go to death for this. And he is maker of the visible, and I leave the visible. But there will be an invisible too. God has made the invisible. And Jesus was crucified, but he resurrected on the third day. And on the basis of this, I also go to be shot, because I know that there is a resurrection. And then the last verse resounded, I believe in the resurrection of the body. It is so difficult to give a young, beautiful body at the age of 19 and 20. But when you really believe the word, there is a resurrection of the body, and I believe in the life to come. There was reality behind it. Afterwards, pak, 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 you heard the sound of a few bullets, and the bride was forever in the embraces of the bridegroom in a happiness which words can't describe. This is the underground church behind the Iron Curtain, suffering, but victorious in its suffering. The European Christian Mission has as one of its principal tasks to help this underground church. We are helping them by broadcasting to them the gospel in different languages of the communist countries, Albanian, Estonian, Romanian, Russian, and so on. We are smuggling in, it's not nice to say about the mission that it's smuggled, but that is the truth. We are a mission of smugglers. God had his spies at Jericho. No, that's also not a nice thing. But he had them at Jericho. And God has his smugglers too. We are smuggling in Bibles. I will not tell you how we smuggle it in, how we smuggle them in, because usually some spy from the communists is present at my meetings. He always hopes that I will say something about how we do it. In order to keep faith, he has always to put a few shillings in the offerings, and we get his shillings, and he never gets something from me. I will not tell you how we smuggle, but I can assure you that 22,000 New Testaments entered now in just in one communist country. In two other communist countries, bigger quantities have entered just recently. We are helping the underground pastors, and one holy duty which we feel is to help families of Christian martyrs. We think that it is not right that Christians should sit in prisons and others should, their families should hunger. In Cockfosters Church in London here, a luncheon meeting has been given, and everyone paid for this luncheon meeting, and at the luncheon everyone got a piece of black bread, a little piece of cheese, and a glass of water, and was told, you have much more than your brethren behind the Iron Curtain, so you be thankful for this. And I think that such examples should be followed, and the families of Christian martyrs should be helped. You can help the church behind the Iron Curtain, but the church behind the Iron Curtain can help you also very much by showing you an example of a heroic, consistent Christianity. You have many blessings. Many of you have come to Christ, and with the words of the gospel you say, the wind has listed, we don't know from where. I can tell you from where, because I have seen Christians with 50-pound chains at their feet, praying every night for Great Britain, for its churches, and for its youth. From a Soviet jail, the wind listed to you, and I hope you all have a guardian angel, and the guardian angel has six wings. Now, why does he have six wings? Probably he wishes to fly. Just send him to some Soviet jail. And he's your messenger, that he may assure some prisoner in a solitary confinement that British Christians have not forgotten them, that they love them, and that we are united in the one and the same fight. God bless you all, and God bless your country and your church. Our Heavenly Father, forgive us all our sins. Help us to do what is pleasant in thine eyes. Help us to enter in our inner sanctuary, there to meet thy Holy Son, and in communion with him to find what we can do best for thy glory, for the good of thy church, and for the good of our oppressed brethren. Save the peoples which are under communist oppression, save the world of the communist menace, give a revival in thy churches in Great Britain. Help us to learn from the heroes of faith behind the Iron Curtain. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and remain with us all forevermore. Amen.